Amen. Look at Mark 16. I typically don't teach really holiday messages as such. Not that I have anything against it or think it's wrong, but it appears that the messages God gives me to give to you are messages that will encourage you, that will increase your understanding, and cause you to start changing the way you think. And with every holiday, the things that we need to pull away from and put into practice. Because it's not just a day to remember. It's a day to realize, I can do this. I can do this. And as we sang, part of praise and worship, we were singing, I just seen Jesus. In Mark 16 says on the first verse, starting with verse 11, said on the first day of the week, as the Sabbath was ending, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jacob, and Salome made their way to the tomb. It was very early in the morning, as the first streaks of light were beginning to be seen in the sky. They had purchased aromatic embalming spices so they might anoint his body. And they had been asking one another, who can roll away the heavy stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? But when they arrived, they discovered that the very large stone that had sealed the tomb was already rolled away. And as they stepped into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, dressed in a long white robe. The women were startled and amazed. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I know that you're here looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen victoriously. Look, see the place where they laid him. Run and tell his disciples, even Peter, that he is risen. He has gone ahead of you into Galilee, and you will see him just like he told you. So much took place during that time. And all of it was significant, but I believe it's important to understand that we have what in Christ, not because he died. What we have in Christ, we have not because he died, but because he rose. What I want us to understand, to get the understanding today, is that it took power for Christ to go to the cross and stay on the cross. It took power for him to give up his life. It took power for him to descend into hell. And it took power for him to stay there until his assignment was completed. And the power that it took Christ to do all of those things, we have. We have it. And we can operate in it. But I want us to really to get that we have everything the Bible says we have, not because Jesus died, but because he rose. He rose. In Acts 5, because it's so important to have leaders that are alive. When they were being persecuted, Peter, because of the miracle that was done to the lame man, and you know, they were threatened and strictly threatened and further threatened and threatened and told them, do not teach in this name, and they went out and did it anyway, and they were called back in, and the religious leader said, didn't we strictly warn you that you were to never again teach in this name? But instead, you have now filled all of Jerusalem with this doctrine and are committed to holding us responsible for this man's death. Peter and the apostles replied, we must listen to and obey God more than pleasing religious leaders. He said, you had Jesus arrested and killed by crucifixion, but the God of our forefathers has raised him up. He's the one God has exalted and seated at his right hand of our Savior and as our Savior and champion. He is the provider of grace as the Redeemer of Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God freely gives to all who believe in him. When they heard this, being the religious leaders, they were infuriated and determined to murder them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a noted religious professor who was highly respected by all, stood up. He gave orders to send the apostles outside. Then he said to the council, men of Israel, you need to be very careful about how you deal with these men. Listen to this. Some time ago, there was a man named Judas who rose up claiming to be somebody. He had a following of about 400 men, but when he was killed, all of his followers were scattered and nothing came of it. After him, in the days of the census, another man rose up, Judas the Galilean, who got people to follow him in a revolt. He too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. So in this situation, you should just leave these men to themselves. For if this plan or undertaking originates with men, it will fade away and come to nothing. But if this movement is of God, you won't be able to stop it. And you might discover you were fighting God all along. Says Gamaliel's words convinced the council. So they brought back the apostles in and had them severely beaten. Be mindful what you do with these men. Call them in and beat them within an inch of their life. And they ordered them to never again speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. The apostles left there rejoicing. Think of that. Severely, severely beaten and threatened, and they leave rejoicing. They beat me some more. God considered them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And I like the way verse 42 begins in the Passion Translation. It says that nothing stopped them. They kept preaching every day in the temple courts and went from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus, God's anointed one. Now think about it. Why did those other movements fail? The leaders died and didn't rise from the dead. When they died, everything they were believing died because they stayed dead. Happened twice, at least to get Gamaliel's remembrance. And when the leaders stayed dead, what happened to the people? Scattered. That means they ran away and stayed away. See, it's one thing to be killed, but if an individual is killed and 3 days later comes back to life, now that's something else. So it's very important to know with a certainty that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Nothing stopped them. They kept preaching every day in the temple courts and went from house to house preaching the gospel of Jesus, God's anointed one. Why were they able to do that? Yeah, I ask myself those kind of questions when I'm reading. I always want to know why, what was going on, what people were thinking. When I was a youth director and had responsibilities at LCA, no matter what happened, my first question was always the same. Why did you do that? They'd look at me and say, Mr. Carr, I don't know. I said, then you're a dangerous individual and you need to be locked up. And they looked at me and said, locked up? I said, what you want me to believe is that you just arbitrarily do things and don't know why. We can't have you around people like that. Then they start crying. Yeah, this is what I did. I'm sorry. I said, okay, we won't lock you up. But the apostles had faith in what was taking place behind the scenes, and they didn't even know it was behind the scenes. See, when Jesus makes a promise to us, what's one of your favorite promises? He'll come again. Eternal life. Now think about this. Some of you are afraid to answer, I know. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind with answers. So how many of you have a favorite scripture, a promise, something Jesus said that you believe? Just shout it out. By his stripes I'm healed. God so loved the world. He's coming back for us. All of those things are true, but it's what's happening behind the scenes that'll make it come to pass. And we need to know that, because we get frustrated because we'll confess something and turn around and it's not there. Behind the scenes actions can be more important than what you see. As I shared with you earlier, if I pick up a mic and talk into it, you'll hear me, because behind the scenes it was turned on. And the reason it was turned on is because there was a plan for service and they knew I was going to use the mic. They bring me a handheld. I'm not a handheld. This, what do you call this? Headset. Before service. So I put it on. It's funny, on Wednesdays we test it, on Sundays we don't. And I don't think about it. I put it on and start talking. Why? Because I know that behind the scenes they're doing what they're supposed to do, in order to for me to do what I'm supposed to do. And it's no different when you're believing things from God. You need to know that the Spirit is at work to make happen that which you've confessed, as long as you stay in faith. What happens is that we believe to a point and then we think it's been long enough. And we don't go from confessing it to not confessing it. And you don't have to say amen to this. Don't turn your head or suck your teeth. But we don't have to. My thought popped away. Pop back. We have to have faith in what's taking place behind the scenes. And when you say something, and you're just about, it's just about to come. It's in the home stretch. It's pulling out ahead. It's like Secretariat running. It's far in front of all opposition, but you don't see it. And in the privacy of your own thoughts, you're like, oh, this is never going to work. The minute you say that, the reins are pulled. You short-circuited the power. You were ahead by 20 lengths, but it didn't seem like it because you don't understand what's going on in the background. In the background, things are whizzing, moving around. If I was standing up here and I could see into my background, I'd be moving, trying to let everything whiz by me instead of just relaxing, doing what I'm supposed to do, knowing that God will take care of the rest. When I tell you to turn to a scripture, it appears on the screen. It's not voice activated. It's the volunteers behind the scene, and something had to be done. Again, they had to be given instructions, given a plan, given what was going to be used, and they knew what to do with it. When God gives instructions and gives a plan, he tells you how to use it and what's supposed to come of it, and all we have to do is execute what he said. How many of you, before you plug in an appliance, you call a power company, make sure all the switching, all the transformers are in place, there are no problems with the wiring? Anybody do that? Anybody know how electricity gets to your house? All you know is you need electricity. And you've been told that all you need to do is plug in and the power will be there. Well, we have resurrection life flowing all around us. All we have to do is plug in and let it start flowing through us. Let it illuminate us. Everything necessary has been put in place behind the scenes. Romans 4:18 in the Passion Translation. I'm excited about a verse in here. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. Verse 19. Listen to this. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong it could not be undetermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. His faith, our faith, needs to be so strong that it can't be undetermined by facts. It can't be. The Bible tells us, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You look at your bank account and start begging God. He said he will supply all your need. And behind the scene, then it was Phyllis and Greg were going through some lean times. We believe God. We still gave. I've told you this before, that sometimes we'd have a guest and they take a love offering and we would always say, well, how much did you get a number? And then I wanted to stop asking her because her number always seemed higher than mine. But we said, if I got $25 and she got $50, we gave $75. Which one was right? But we were down, we had $20. One Alec, was it, who's on that, Hamilton? Who's on, no, Jackson, right? Who's on the 20? Jackson, yeah. That was our guest. $20. You know, like the pastor says, 58 cents? We had $20. 20. God caused some supermarkets to have a price war. Yeah, and it was a war with the old supermarket. That's what I mean by what? Buy one oven stuff and roaster, get two free. Crazy sales. She went shopping and came back, what was it, three bags of groceries and meats and things and change. and chains. My God shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory, not how much we had to our name. We sometimes think it means whatever I have in my bank account. We sometimes think it means, well, I need to move some things around and do some different types of investments. That may be true if that's what God told you to do. If he didn't tell you to do that, leave everything the way it is and keep believing. I don't know what their resources were during that time, but I imagine they didn't have fertility pills and all that other stuff that people use today to get pregnant. But it says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless. That's key, folks. When things look hopeless, you need to remember, I have resurrection life in me. When my Savior was on the cross, people saw him lose his life. They saw him get stabbed in his side. They saw that. They watched the guards take him down from the cross. He was dead. And everybody seemed to forget what he said. And he was dead. But their faith needs to be so strong, it could not be undetermined by the facts. Facts will always confuse your faith if you allow it. Facts will always confuse your faith if you allow it. And the disciples had facts. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus' death, burial, and their faith was so strong, they didn't let those facts change their mind. They still told the guards, if you think we would listen to you instead of Jesus, you judge. This is someone with the power to literally beat you to death. But the Bible tells us he being Abraham, never stopped believing God's promise. For he was made strong in his faith to father a child. And because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises. So what did Abraham do? He glorified God. That same resurrection power that's in you will give you everything you need to do that which you've been called to do. You need to start glorifying your Father. Being so convinced of it, you walk around, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, I see it. And see yourself doing it. Like children do when they're small, they draw stick figures of you at the stove with a frying pan in your hand. That's what you have to do. Do it. The disciples didn't see the resurrection power at work, but they knew it was there because they did what Jesus told them to do. The woman with the issue of blood didn't see the resurrection power because there was no resurrection. But she knew that Jesus had power. The centurion knew. Centurion, everyone else could come and lay hands on it. The centurion didn't say that. Speak the word. That's all. Speak. I understand authority and how it works. You speak the word, and it'll have to happen according to what you've spoken. And that was without resurrection power at work. We have resurrection power on the inside of us. Colossians 2. See, when Jesus was buried, he didn't just stay there ho-humming in the cave, in the tomb. He descended. As we say, he got on a down elevator and went to hell. And while he was in hell, in Colossians 2, I'll start with verse 12. For we have been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised him from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state, for when we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. Verse 14. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record, and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all. Our sins, our stained souls, he deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. They cannot be retrieved. Not even on microfiche. You won't find it painted on the wall in a cave somewhere. It won't be, what do you call it, hieroglyphics. If you could see the cross, you'd see it nailed to the back of it. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. So he took care of us first. Verse 15, I like this part. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon, and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his. You are not a prisoner to your past. You're not a prisoner to any circumstances. They're prisoners to you. And if they're set free, you need to open your mouth and corral them back. He made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness. He publicly showed every demon, everybody that was assigned to hell at that time, this guy ain't the real deal. I am, and those that believe on me are. And whether it's me or them, your days of rule and reign are over. Romans 8, we've been talking about this a lot. Verse 11, King James. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and it does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. This means that resurrection power is constantly at work in us. Whatever needs to happen to resurrect your healing is happening right now. Behind the scenes. Whatever it is that you need, it's happening right now. It's happening behind the scenes. You have to believe it and let your confession line up with it. Everything you could possibly need to do the things God called you to do or do the thing God called you to do, you have the power right now. I wish God could just open all of our eyes so we could see the activity going on, but we probably couldn't handle it. Things are whizzing about. Think of when you say yes, I believe. Try and imagine what's taking place in behind the scenes. Every attack to try to get you from believing is being stopped. every attack. Why? Because you spoke in faith. You said it's done. Your words have power. But we have it done down here, and everything starts moving because it's according to the plan. That's why you have to stay with the plan. Whatever needs to resurrect your finances is taking place right now. You need resurrection in your family life, it's happening right now. You need to believe it and have your mouth line up with what you believe. And it's not because Jesus died on that cross, it's because he rose from the dead. Canceled everything that was ever written against us. I'm going to read this and then I'll probably quit for now. This was the result of resurrection power at work on his behalf. It wasn't just raising him from the dead. It was keeping everything in its place. He took the authority from Satan and all of his principalities and never gave it back to them. We need to understand that the power is still at work in us. And when we read the Bible, we want to understand that all the power necessary for every single promise of God to come to pass is at work and active behind the scenes. Every bit of power necessary to do what we've been called to do is active right now behind the scenes. Make sure that whatsoever you decide when you pray, you believe you receive them and you shall have them. Whatever you decide. This is possible because he rose, and the same resurrection power that's at work behind the scenes making it possible for us to do everything Jesus told us to do will cause us to rise also. Folks, we have to know that everything that's needed for us to get the things we've been believing for, we've been confessing, and that God has told us, everything, no matter what it was, no matter what it seems like, it's all available. And the path to get it to you is at work behind the scenes. That's why the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. Sight doesn't see what's happening behind the scenes. This may sound strange. Sight doesn't see, but faith doesn't care. Faith doesn't care. All faith knows is that you're in it. There's no start button. I think I'm going to unhook. I have a couple of things swirling around, but if I say them, we'll be here another hour. So come back next Sunday, and we'll finish. Amen. Oh, actually, that's pretty good. I have a minute and 30 seconds left. Wow. What do I want to do with that? How many of you are believing for something right now, something you need right now, something that's been nagging you, harassing you, trying to beat you down? Just stand where you are. Ah, so you're why God had me up till 3 o'clock. Folks, did you hear the message that was taught today? Do you believe it? You believe that God, all the power that's needed to bring you through whatever it is you're going through, you have at work right now? Then say it. Father, we thank you for these people who are willing to stand And we thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for each one of them. And whether or not they were in line with your plan right now is irrelevant. All that matters is they're standing before you because they want to get it right. And we thank you that you'll give them the assurance that everything that's needed for them to receive what they receive is at work now behind the scenes. And at the appointed time, you said in due season, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each of them. And it's quickening things. It's quickening things. It's giving them strength to stand, to keep believing no matter what they're going through, no matter what it looks like, they believe. And I thank you for them, Lord, as they continue when the pressure comes that they break out in praise. They add to their praise their own little joy dance, no matter where they are. If you're in the middle of the neighborhood, be on Madison Avenue, when a negative thought comes, they break into their joy dance. Say, I have resurrection life in me. I have resurrection life in me. It's at work in the background. And I'm going to see it soon, the results of it, because I'm not going to stop believing. Hallelujah. Say praise the Lord with them. Hallelujah. Thank you. You can all be seated if you want to. If you want to stay standing, you can. This is what happens when you allow the love of God to be evident. When you allow his word to be taught, his spirit to be directed, and his power to be manifested. Then, and this will always happen when those things are in place. And you just got another weapon. When the negative stuff comes, you say, oh no, on March 31st, at about 11:40 a.m., I know the power was at work behind the scenes, and I will have whatsoever I say. Period. Then go open a window and say, you know. I saw a movie once that I probably shouldn't have watched. It was some time ago. No, I'm not telling you the name. But there was a scene in there where the person was asked, okay, do you want to, he said, there's two ways to leave this building. Do you want the stairs or the window? And the guy jumped and rolled down the stairs because he chose windows once before and found out he couldn't fly. But I'm serious, folks. Get your praise on. Get your joy dance on. Get your I believe that God's going to do what he said he's going to do on. And stop tolerating nonsense. Anywhere, as Minister Phillips said, or from anybody. You know what you believe. Act like you believe. Don't become undetermined. Father, I thank you for the word that you've given us this morning. Thank you, Father, that the word was understood. And that because it was understood, it will be acted upon. We thank you, Father, that we understand that the power is always at work behind the scenes, making things that you deem to happen, happen, based on my faith, our faith. So we thank you, Lord, that because we're steadfast, immovable, always abounding, we will see what we've been praying for, because we believe every single word, and we're stronger than we've ever been, because we're standing on the promises. Now, just so you remember, because this is the Easter, the resurrection season, and though we can't sing it, it's very easy to remember what this season is about. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And rising, he justified me, freed me forever. And one day he's coming back, and it'll be a glorious day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's hit it with some rhythm. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming, glorious day. He loved me, dying, he... Watch you stand to your feet. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freed me forever. One day he's coming, oh, glorious day. Hallelujah. Before you sit down, greet someone and say, Happy Resurrection Day. Not dismissed yet. There's one more thing we have to do. We need to give an opportunity for those to have their lives, their true life, resurrected. And you do that by receiving Christ as your Savior. You receive Christ as your Savior. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So why don't we make this confession? Father God, on this Resurrection Sunday, 2024, I give my life to you. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you went to hell in my place. And I believe that years ago on this day, you rose from the dead. So I turn to you now, and I'm asking you, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. Well, according to the Bible, if you made that prayer and you believed it in your heart, you just got born again. So what does that mean? Well, first thing we'd like to do is welcome you and then give you some free information. The easiest way to do that is you just stand where you are. So why don't you do that now? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is there another? Join our new brother. Yes. I like that song. Hell lost another one. They are free. They are free. They are free. Hell lost another one. They are free. They are free. Resurrection power. And I know how it feels to have resurrection power move you up out of your seat. But know that you may feel the same way, but you've changed. Your spirit has changed. And what we'd like for you to do next, next step is you want to get yourself into a Bible teaching church. One that just teaches you out of the Bible, no opinions, just word. Develop a prayer life. You know, I don't believe it's too much, but if you'd like, there's another aspect of that, that's being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's available to you at any time. When you're ready, you'll be filled.